And I'm very excited to be here today. I love the whole July 4th theme, and therefore I am not preaching on that today. Sorry, but I do have one thing I'd like for us to do, and if you wouldn't mind, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, I love veterans. I'm a veteran, and I know that there's many of you that are here. And it's a special thing today when we're having kind of our July 4th service that we make known that there's a veteran in our presence that's having her birthday today. And anyhow, he's right back here in his red shirt. So I wonder if we could just sing happy birthday to him. Would that be all right? All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. That's too high for me. Happy birthday to you. And many more, brother. Many more. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to just look at a few verses there today. So if you found that, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are invisible or visible. And verse number 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that seek him. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to stand in this place and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your word. It is inerrant and it is true, and I can trust it. Lord, I thank you that you have given it to us. I thank you, Lord, for every person that's here today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will touch hearts today. May we all go out changed. May we be convicted of those areas in our heart, Lord, that you would convict us of. And may we be blessed in those areas, dear God, that you would want us blessed. Father, I ask now that you have your part in this service. Every word out of my mouth, Lord, I pray it'll come from you. And Father, I'll ask these things in your name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the Apostle Paul had much the same things to say as the writer of Hebrews. We don't really know who wrote Hebrews, but we have an idea who it was. But the Apostle Paul said these things, and actually it's two different places, and you can look them up if you want to. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 18, he said, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And in the next chapter, chapter 5 and verse number 7, he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In Romans chapter number 8, verses number 24 and 25, he also says these words, for in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Now, as I think about this particular, if you will, this particular subject of faith, I have to be honest with you. I think most cases we have an idea what faith is. We have an idea that in all the Scripture, it consistently talks about people of faith. It talks about that you and I should have faith. It tells us that without faith, we cannot be saved. So I would understand then that faith is very key. It's a very important part. And in all the places in the Scripture, there's only one place where faith is defined, and it is right here in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1. The New International Version says of this verse, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of those things that we do not see. You see, faith is so important to us, and in many cases, our faith is kind of up or down depending on how happy we are. Sometimes our faith is extremely high because maybe God has just answered a prayer for us. And because of that, then our faith pumps up and we're excited about that. There can be other times when we are tried and we're put through testings and things don't go our way, that maybe at those particular times our faith kind of dwindles a little bit, falls down to the point where we may be even asking, why, God, is this happening to me? I find out throughout Scripture that God has given us example after example after example of what those people who are exhibiting faith, what they're like. And I'm so thankful that the writer of Hebrews kind of gave us a little hall of faith right here in the 11th chapter. Would you join me in just by looking down at a few verses here as we go down? Look at verse number 4. It says, by faith Abel offered God a more acceptable sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible. We already have seen that, to please him. Look at verse number 7, by faith Noah being warned of God. And of course we know the story of Noah. God told him, hey, build an ark. And he says, okay, I'll build an ark. Verse number 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called. Verse number 9, by faith he went to live in a land of promise. He picked up and moved from where he was and went to exactly where God had asked him to go. And he did that all by faith. There was nothing else happening in his life. We go down to verse number 11. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive. We can see in verse number 13 that these all died in faith. We know that they're not alive anymore, but the Bible gives us all this great evidence, if you will, of things that happened greatly. Look at verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. But number 20, by faith Isaac invoked future blessings upon Jacob and Esau. 21, by faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons. 22, by faith Joseph at the end of his life made mention of the exodus of the Israelites. 23, by faith Moses. You get the idea. All throughout here in the 11th chapter, this writer has given us a great example of by faith these people did certain things. And I got to tell you today that we don't do things because we have the ability to do those, although we can. But if we're going to get the honor of God, then the one thing we must do is we must attempt these and approach these in faith. Now, faith is kind of one of those things that we can kind of define, and then other times we look at it and we say, I'm not sure I could really define faith. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 3 through 9 was talking about the people who were going through great hardship and going through great persecution because of their faith. And I'm going to read that for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we could just stop there and say amen, right? Amen? Okay, I just want to check. Okay. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. His mercy has caused us to be born again. Amen to that. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while. It is necessary that you grieve by various trials, so that the testing of your genuineness, of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to be the result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And listen to these last two verses. Though you have not seen him, you believe in him and you love him. That's what faith is. I often think about faith. The more faith I have, it's almost like if I was exercising, doing push-ups. Now, the other day I dropped down and I did 3, and I was really proud of myself as I pumped out those push-ups. But, you know, if I sat down every day and I said, okay, I'm going to just continue to do push-ups, pretty soon I would be able to do more and more push-ups. And can I say that faith is kind of like that? Faith is kind of like casting out your net and hoping that you catch something. No. Faith is like casting out your net and knowing you're going to receive something. This church sits here not because it should host 250 or 300 people this morning. That's not why we sit here. We sit here because we are following the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is, go ye therefore into all nations, preaching, teaching, and baptizing, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is our commission. And we go out and we tell other people about Jesus Christ, whom we have not seen with our own eyes, but we do it because we believe because of our faith in the Scriptures and in the Bible. I love it that God has given us examples of people who have gone through times and trials. He's shown us that people here have worked and they've walked in your shoes. I always like it because the scriptures never hesitate to tell us the good and the bad. I'm so thankful for that. What if the scriptures only told us all the great things that happened to people? I would find that I was sorely lacking, and I may even put down the Bible and say I could never measure up. But I love it that I see here that God gave the opportunity to have faith and people followed in. As I look at that sixth verse, and this morning I had to get on Charlie a little bit in the Sunday school class. He was getting on my verse. Now, there's nothing worse than that. Somebody just jumps up there. But if I look at that sixth verse in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "And without faith it's impossible to please him." So can I say today, I believe that this is probably one of the most important chapters in all of Scripture. And I believe that Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 is the most important verse in all of Scripture. Wait a minute, Bob. What about John 3:16? Boy, that's a great verse. But do you realize without faith, you will not be saved? Faith. In the King James, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith really takes those things that you have not seen and makes them as if you had seen them. It takes those things that which you hope for and know exactly that this is exactly what's going to happen. I love the idea that when I think of faith, I know that God has given me grace so that I can apply that grace and my faith can grow. There are many important verses in the scripture. I think of John chapter number 5 and verse number 24 when he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." So how in the world can I have salvation? John tells us right here, everlasting life is formed when we hear God's word, we repent of our sins, I believe what God has said, and therefore he pays my penalty of sin. That's salvation. It's not in a quick little prayer. It's not in a, "Gee, I really am sorry." No, there's a whole lot more to it. I must repent of my sins, which means that I step away from the way that I'm going and I go towards God. Repentance is not just stepping away, but it's going somewhere. If I'm going to have faith, I must have faith and understand that if God says I can have everlasting life, and it says in so many verses that I can, then I must understand that there's a promise for that, and it's by faith that I accept that promise, and now I know I can see it visually with my spiritual eyes, and I can exhibit it, if you will, with my own life, because things in the scripture consistently have come to pass in my life. I'm so excited when I think about this verse, because as we go through and we dissect these words, it's really simple. Faith, to me, is a spiritual reality. Faith is not something that you're kind of thinking is going to be out there, but it's a reality in our life. So faith is a spiritual reality. There's an assurance there, and that's a quality of confidence. The more that you walk with Christ, the more that you accept his word, the more you allow his leading in your life, your faith will increase and your assurance will increase. When I was a babe in Christ, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was a babe in Christ. There were times in my life because of my stepping away from the Lord or maybe not studying as much, I doubted if I was saved. The more I practice my faith, the more I get into my scriptures, and the longer I live, the more I can see that God's word is always true. Every step of it, every word of it, every paragraph of it is true. And because it's true, then I can trust it. And if I trust it, then that builds my faith. And I think about how great my faith should be. I look at these great leaders here that we found in Hebrews chapter 11, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not sure my faith is there. If God told me, "I want you to offer up your oldest son, Sean," I'm not sure I would have been ready to do that. But Abraham was. When I think of these things that these people did, I have to understand that God gave them the ability and they worked on their faith to such a point where they could obtain those things. And so what is hope? Well, in a religious sense, it's not doesn't mean I hope. It means I know. When it says here that it is the conviction, it's the approval. I know no matter what. I know no matter what that God sent his son to die for me. No matter what, I know that. And I also know that if he sent his son to die for me, there was a purpose in that. And the purpose in that was that I would worship God. And because of that, then I could have eternal life. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what that means. Oh, I see your faces. I've never experienced eternal. I've experienced banana pudding. I've experienced chocolate cake. I've experienced those things, but I have never experienced eternal life. But you know what? The Bible says it, and guess what? It's true. And so therefore, I can say with all conviction that I know that when I die, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with God. And the last thing he says here is things not seen. You know, how many people are from Missouri here? No, don't shake your hand. Yeah, I know. But how many are you really from Missouri? You better show me, then I'll believe it, you know. Show me, then I'll believe that kind of thing. Well, for a Christian, we can see it simply because we can see over and over in the Scriptures how things happened exactly as Christ said they would. We can see exactly those things pertaining. But even more importantly, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt because I've seen God work in my life. The greatest miracle that ever happened is not the parting of the Red Sea. It's not the 10 plagues. It's not Jesus coming down from the cross. And it's not Jesus' resurrection. The greatest miracle in all of my life is the day that Jesus said, come. And I said, okay. That's a miracle. I was telling a Sunday school class this morning that there was a BC for me. And BC means before Christ. I wasn't born a Christian. I wasn't raised a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home, but I wasn't raised a Christian. I mean, I had to become a Christian. I had to accept the gift of God. And it's only upon that acceptance that I can honestly say that I've seen God work and work and work. The Lexham English Bible says, now faith is the realization of what is hoped for and the proof of things not seen. Well, I got to tell you, I really like that. Throughout Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, we can see where people had great faith. And because of that faith, then things happened to them. I can see and understand that Jesus had commented on people and said, you do have great faith. For example, when Jesus healed the centurion's servant, the centurion came up to him and said, hey, I've got a servant who is sick. And he said, okay, I'll be on my way. And he says, no, you don't have to come. Just your words will be enough. And I love the scripture. It says, and he was healed at the same hour. I love that. The woman of issue of blood came to Jesus, and she said was, all I need to do is I don't need to talk to him. I don't need to get a blessing from him. He doesn't have to pray with me. All I need to do is just but to touch the hem of his garment, and I will be healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen such faith. The woman who washed the feet of Jesus Christ in the house of the Pharisee, Jesus turned to her and said, thy faith has saved thee. When I think of the word faith, I like anagrams. I know Charlie likes anagrams. He likes plays on words. And you probably heard this before, but if you take faith and just use the first letters down, it's forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. I wasn't there in the beginning when there was only God. I wasn't there when God spoke and said, let there be light. I wasn't there when the cosmos came to be. I wasn't there when the land and the ocean separated. I wasn't there when God said, let there be herbs and let there be trees and let there be bushes. I wasn't there when God said, let the seas bring forth life. I wasn't there when God said, now let's create the animals. And I wasn't there when God created man. I wasn't there when Lucifer caused a war in heaven. He was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels. I wasn't there for that when that happened. I wasn't there when God reigned for 40 days and 40 nights on this earth to judge this earth. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when God made everlasting covenants to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. I wasn't there when Abraham prepared to offer his only son because God asked him to offer him. I wasn't there. I didn't witness that. I didn't get to see that. I wasn't there when God said to Pharaoh through the voice of Moses, "Let my people go." And because he didn't, he brought 10 plagues upon the people in Egypt. I wasn't there when that happened. I wasn't there when God delivered the children of Israel when they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. I wasn't there to see that. I wasn't there to see it when the children said, "We have nothing to eat and we have nothing to drink." And God caused manna to fall from heaven and water to gush out of a rock. I wasn't there. I didn't get to see that. I wasn't there when Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan River on dry ground. And they walked up, and as the little song said, and the walls came a-tumbling down. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there when a little shepherd boy took off the armor of a king and walked over to a brook and took 5 stones and a sling. I wasn't there to see that. I wish I would have been. I wasn't there when Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were cast into a furnace to burn. And they came out, and when they came out, something strange. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. I didn't get to see him when he came out unscathed. I didn't get to see that. I wasn't there when Elijah stood toe to toe with 450 priests of Baal. And on that mountaintop, he prayed and fire came down from heaven and consumed his sacrifice. And just for good measure, the fire consumed not only the sacrifice, but also the rocks and the water that was there. Woo! I wasn't there for that, but boy, I'd like to have seen that one. I wasn't there when Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. And I wasn't there when the sun went backwards. I didn't get to see that. I wasn't there when Jonah rebelled and God prepared a great fish and swallowed him up, and he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Can you imagine that one? I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there when in the stillness of night, a baby's voice was heard. And the time was right for Emmanuel to be born. I wasn't there. I didn't get to witness that. I wasn't there when Jesus confounded the wise in the temple at 12 years old. I wasn't there when Jesus performed his first miracle at the wedding feast in Cana when he turned water into wine. I wasn't there when Jesus was walking along the shore and he selected his apostles and he said, "Stop whatever you're doing and follow me." I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there when Jesus healed the sick, caused the lame to walk, the blind to see, and the dead be raised back to life. I didn't get to see that. I wasn't there when Jesus taught the multitudes, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I wasn't there when he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, and there was plenty of leftovers. I wasn't there for that. I didn't get to see that. I wasn't there when Peter and Jesus strode on the water. I wasn't there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah were conferring with Jesus about what was getting ready to take place in his life in the next week. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there when the multitude shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna," Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, as they're ripping off palm fronds and throwing it in front of them. They're taking off their cloaks and putting it on the ground. And they're saying, Hosanna, and Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. I wasn't there for that, but oh, would I've loved to have seen that. Would I've loved to have been in a crowd for that, but I wasn't there. I wasn't there when Jesus was arrested and endured illegal trials. He was beaten. I wasn't there for that. He was shamed. I wasn't there when Jesus took his cross upon him and walked up that road to Calvary. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there when he was placed on the cross. And on the cross, then, he forgave all those who were there. I wasn't there for his compassionate words to John and to Mary. And I wasn't there when he said, "It is finished." I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there when they took Jesus off the cross and laid him in a borrowed tomb, as prophecy had suggested. I wasn't there. Nor was I there when early in the morning on the third day, the women came to finish up the job, and they came and they found the stone rolled away, and Jesus wasn't there. I was not there to see Jesus resurrected. Woo! Would I have loved to have seen that? How about you? Man, I'm going to run here in just a minute. I got to tell you, I wasn't there for that. I didn't get, could you imagine seeing the resurrected Christ? I can't even imagine that. I can't even get that around my head. I can't even imagine what it would have been like to go and tell the other disciples, he's alive. He's alive. He's not dead. Just like he said, he's alive. But I wasn't there for that either. I wasn't there when the crowds came and they saw the resurrected Christ. I wasn't there when he walked with the two men on the road to Emmaus and he explained to them, by the way, the Messiah is spoke about in the law and the prophets. I wasn't there for that either. And I wasn't there the day that Jesus was taken up to heaven when all eyes were on him. I wasn't there. I wasn't there for any of these events. I didn't see him with my own eyes. I didn't hear him with my ear. But I will tell you today, without a shadow of a doubt, they're more real to me than if I'd seen those events. I have faith believing that these events took place. And I can do that because I believe every word in this scripture. This word had proven to me over and over and over again that it's real and that it's true. And I can put my whole life and trust in God above because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die. I can put my trust in that. I can put my trust in the words of the apostles when they say, you're going to go through persecutions. You're going to go through hard times. You are going to have this. But I want to tell you today, through faith, you can overcome those things because there is something far greater for you. And that is eternity with me. How can I say I believe all these events took place? Well, I can tell you firsthand, I've seen them in my mind and in my heart. My faith consistently tells me, because I consistently believe more and more in what God has done. As God does something in my life and as God does something in my wife's life with us as a couple, we see God consistently working on our life, and there's no other explanation for it. I can see that that is God. So if I was going to define faith today, I would say faith is confidence in the promise of God. But even more than just having faith in the confidence of God, I think that faith is the ability to act on God's promises. God has given us promises. All we have to do is open up our scriptures and look. He promises us over and over and over great things that we can have. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he said, don't think about the things down on earth, but think about those things that are in heaven waiting for you. I give you great blessings, and those blessings are in heaven. I think today, above all things, that if I was to consider the most important verse in all of Scripture, I would say it would have to be Hebrews 11, verse 1. In the English Standard Version, it says, now faith is the assurance things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. I love it that the writer of Hebrews didn't finish just with the hall of faith. If you still have your Bibles open, would you look at the 12th chapter? 12th chapter in verses 1 and 2. To me, This puts it together. This is the bookend that helps to put this chapter together. And he says these words, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and those witnesses are those who have passed on before, those people of great faith, "since they are there and we are surrounded by them," he says, "let us also lay aside the weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith." How do I get better faith? Trust more and more in Jesus Christ. He is the one who's going to help us to have more faith. He is the founder. He is the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated now on the right hand of the Father. May I ask you today, how strong is your faith? Have people challenged your faith recently? Maybe perhaps you've challenged your own faith. Maybe there's something that's going on in your life, and maybe you're saying, "God, why are you letting this happen to me?" Perhaps all you need is to just understand that God has a plan for you, and all we need to do is approach that in faith. Already believing that God is already in control, already believing that God already has an answer, already believing that whatever the answer is and whatever it may be, that it is far superior than anything that you and I could possibly do. Now, I've been speaking to Christians today, but I definitely want to say these words. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior today, if you've never been a time when you have asked him to save you, if there's never been a time when you acknowledge that God really did send his son to die for you, and that he was the only one who could pay the penalty for my sins, Bob Crowder's sins, which are many. If you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins, if you don't really believe his word, then you would never ask. But if you really believe that God is who he is, and you believe that God sent his son to die for you, guess what? There is a great and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful eternity for you. Belief comes by hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God causes my faith to increase my belief so that I can say, "Lord, I trust you with all my heart. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my job. I trust you with my ministry. I trust you in every area of my heart and in my life. I trust you." If you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, what a great freedom from sin you could have today on Independence Weekend. Perhaps, maybe, Christian, your faith is a little waning. Things in your life haven't worked out so well. Maybe difficulties have come. Maybe today also would be a day for you to have independence. Instead of carrying it all on yourself, how about placing it where it really belongs? Put it at the foot of Christ. Place it there. And leave it there. And back away. And by faith believing, I'm going to trust God in every area of my life. My prayer today for Lakeview Baptist Church is simply this. We can be just another church. We can be another place where the lights come on and people stand up and they sing, the piano player plays, the song director leads, the preacher stands up and preaches, and we go out here feeling really happy, and then in our daily life, the Monday through Saturday, we live in defeat. Or we could hear God's word, trust and believe in God's word, and build up our faith to say that no matter what happens on this earth, God's in control, and I'm just going to turn the reins back over to him. I made a mess of my life, and I just want to give it over to you, Lord, and I'll back away, and I'll say, "Thank you, God, for what you've done." I don't know where you stand today, but during our time of invitation, I want that to be open to you. I know Baptists don't like to come down to the front. I know that the altar is kind of like, ooh, if I come down to the altar, everybody's going to wonder what sin I've been doing. May I tell you today, God loves it when people get their hearts right. And you can get your heart right in your pew, but there's something about standing up and saying, I'm going to stand for God today, and I'm going to take the first step, and I'm going to confess to the Lord, maybe I haven't had as much faith as I've needed. Maybe I've been holding on to some of these things. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us example after example after example of faith. I thank you, Father, that you have given us your word. I thank you, God, that you have told us that it's only by faith that we can please you. Father, I'm thankful to know that there is a way of pleasing you. And Lord, I just ask today that as this is this 4th of July weekend, that we can have and exhibit great freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from the call of Satan, freedom from the call of our own selves, and to place that upon you today. We can confess those sins before you. Father, I ask if there's someone here today that has not asked you to be their Lord and Savior, may today be the day. May in the very few next minutes, Lord, they make that decision and they walk down in front and give their heart and soul to you. Father, I pray for those who may be going through difficult times right now, Father, that maybe their faith is waning just a little bit. Oh, God, give them the strength to confess that before you as well. And, Father, maybe there's people here today that understand the blessings of faith, and they are great faith warriors. Father, maybe they just want to come down and just throw out, if you will, blessings upon blessings and just acknowledge who you are today. Father, I just ask that you have your point and your time in this time of invitation. And we'll ask these things in your Son's name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.